10 for our Bible reading, Luke chapter 10, and we're going to read from the 38th verse of the chapter, the closing section of this passage, Luke chapter 10 and the 38th verse. Very familiar portion of Scripture, Christ's visit to the home of Mary and Martha in Bethany, and what unfolded there in Christ's conversation with Mary and with Martha at that particular time. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Amen. We pray the Lord will bless his word to our hearts. It's verse 42 that I want to focus our attention especially on this morning. The words of Christ to Martha, one thing is needful, Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Christians making good choices is what I want to look at from this portion. And the choice, of course, and focus here is fellowshipping with Christ in his word. So with our Bibles open there, let me encourage you to keep your Bible open as we go through the message this morning. May the Lord come and graciously, powerfully speak to our hearts. But let's pray. Our Father and our God, we do thank thee for thy presence with us already this morning. We bless thee, Lord, for the joy that fills our hearts as we gather into thy house and with thy people. Lord, we do thank thee for this one day that has been set aside, 1 in 7, whereby we can come to worship thee in this way. We pray, Lord, for thy blessing upon us now. I ask, Lord, that I will take thy word and write it upon our hearts. Fill me with thy spirit. Give help in the preaching of thy word. Lord, we do ask that we might not just listen to it and hear it as words from a man, but Lord, let it be indeed and in truth a word from thee to our souls. Speak to us, Lord, today. We take up the prayer of Samuel when he prayed, speak for thy servant heareth. Lord, give us hearing ears, understanding hearts, desires after thee. And Lord, lead us on in holy fellowship with thyself. Come now and bless thy word to our souls. Speak afresh to us, we pray. We ask these things in our Savior's precious and worthy name. Amen. The closing verses of Luke chapter 10 describe the wonderful reception Christ enjoyed as he came into the home of Mary and Martha in Bethany. I say that because when verse 38 records that Martha received him into her house, we are not to imagine that this was a reluctant act on Martha's part. She did not admit Christ into her home out of some sense of duty. It was not because she felt compelled against her will to have him there at that particular time. It was not because some kind of outside pressure had been brought to bear upon her. Rather, the term used here, this thought of her receiving Christ, signifies that Martha willingly and very happily opened her home to the Savior. She was comfortable having Christ among her family. And it's very obvious from what follows in these verses that Martha went out of her way to minister unto the Savior. This woman Martha only appears a few times in Scripture, and on every occasion she displays the same kind of spirit. She was always busy, always serving, always active, always engaged in something. And it was no different here in Luke chapter 10. Verse 40, for example, speaks of her much serving. And that's how it often was with Martha of Bethany. But on this occasion, Martha's busyness started to have an adverse effect upon her. And I want you to pay particular attention to the details of that aspect of this record here. Martha's busyness resulted in her becoming troubled and anxious and distracted. Mark the words there in verse 40 where it records that she was cumbered about with much serving. That phrase, cumbered about, carries the idea of something that is being dragged around, something that distracts. And in this context, it paints Martha as a woman who had become taken up with many anxious thoughts, to the extent that she was now beside herself with distractions. She was providing hospitality for the Savior, most likely preparing a meal for him. But this had led her, as she serves the Savior, this had led her to be full of anxiety and unnecessary troubles. Her service had become a distraction to her. Furthermore, Martha's busyness resulted in her having unjust thoughts of Christ. In the midst of this pressure, Martha went into the Savior and said, "Lord, dost thou not care?" That was an extremely bold statement. Was Martha really suggesting that Christ did not care about her? Was she really thinking that he thought more of Mary than he did of her? Did she really believe that no one, not even Christ himself, cared for her anymore? I don't think deep down that Martha believed that. But such was her frame of mind at this time that that's exactly what she was thinking. She questioned the Savior's care of her. She queried whether he was really interested in her or not. Those are the words of a woman under pressure. Under pressure that makes her feel the burden of the hour. Moreover, Martha harbored an accusing spirit towards her sister in the midst of this busyness. The closing statement in verse 40 was directed against Mary. "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." It's almost as if Martha is judging Mary. It's almost as if she is accusing her of laziness. "Mary has left me to serve alone." She's pointing the finger at Mary. She's finding fault with her, and her distracted state of mind, her distracted state of heart, has led her to speak harshly about others. I see another thing here. In the midst of Martha's busyness, I discover that Martha's attitude was full of self-pity. Note what she says, "She hath left me to serve alone." Martha's feeling hard done by here. She felt that this was unfair and this was unjust. "Mary has left me alone," and she's starting to feel sorry for herself. She's essentially saying here, as she speaks to the Savior, "Things should not be like this for me, and I should not be treated in this way or left in this particular condition." These were testing times for Martha. And in her busyness, these thoughts and these words began to arise in her heart and mind. I think we need to understand something here. Martha was not engaged in open or wicked sin at this time. She was not in this agitated state because she was a godless woman. She's seeking to serve Christ. She's seeking to minister unto him. Her service in itself was a very legitimate thing, but that service, that busyness, had come between her and her sister, and more importantly, had come between her and her Savior. And at that precise point in her life, Martha has got her priorities wrong. She's thinking more of the physical than of the spiritual. She's taking care of the body and not so much of the soul. She's busy doing something when she should have been sitting still. She's fussing around, taking care of matters in the home when there was something more important for Martha to do. But aren't we all the same at times? We fall into a routine of busyness, of rushing here and there, always active, always working, always doing something, maybe in our employment, maybe with our children, maybe with our hobbies, maybe in our homes, but always doing something. And very often what you find in the midst of that busyness with legitimate things, very often what happens is that there's a bitter and an unhappy and an unspiritual and sometimes an un-Christ-like spirit that begins to develop within us, and we fall into a state where we lose out with God, we get out of sorts with God and out of sorts with others, and we have stopped taking care of our souls in order to take care of something else, and we lose out with Christ. That's what happened to Martha. And it led to a very gentle but very firm rebuke from the Savior. And that brings me into the words of verse 41 and 42. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. And note there just how Christ speaks to her. He calls her by her name because he wants to get her attention and to show that he loves her. And so he says, Martha. And he speaks her name twice. Martha, Martha, because he doesn't want her to miss this message. He doesn't want her to miss what he has planned now to say to her. Up until this time, she has not been listening to his word. But now Christ, he wants her to listen to this message. And then he tells her, one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. That was just the word that this tense, troubled, anxious, agitated believer needed to hear. And there's surely a message in these words for all of us. It's a text that deals with the need to make the right choice regarding communion with Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to look at this morning. Three simple observations here. Let's notice, first of all, that personal fellowship with Christ is critical for the Christian. Personal fellowship with Christ is critical for the Christian. When our Savior responded to Martha's request in verse 42, he came right to the heart and to the hub of this particular matter. At this time, Martha thought the most important thing was for her to continue serving as she was, and for Mary to be commanded to join her again and help her in that particular work. She believed as she spoke to Christ, and she says to Christ, bid her therefore that she help me. Martha believed that the most important thing, she believed that her greatest need at that point was more help. Help to serve, help to work, help in the home, help with her particular duties. In Martha's mind, that was the most critical thing of that particular moment. But Christ stopped her in her tracks. And he said to her in verse 41 and 42, thou art troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. The believer marked the word needful there. It means required or demanded. This is one thing that is required. This is one thing that is demanded. This is something that is critical or crucial in the life of a believer. So what is Christ referring to? This one thing needful. It's identified in verse 39. Mary sitting at Jesus' feet and hearing his word. Because Christ went on to say, Mary hath chosen that good part. In other words, Christ is firmly teaching Martha here that while her work was important to her, while the meal preparation was something she was very careful about, while the duties of her home pressed in upon her, there was something which trumped them all. There was something which was far more important, something which was absolutely essential, and that was to know and fellowship with Christ in his word, to have a healthy spiritual relationship with him. Now look at the exact phrase in verse 39. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Notice Mary's closeness to Christ. She was at his feet. Notice her posture before Christ. She sat at his feet. That's the posture of a humble student or a disciple. And look at her attentiveness to Christ. She heard his word. I want you to mark that very carefully. It's interesting that that term is in the singular. She heard his word. It doesn't mean that Christ only spoke one word. It surely means that he said many things that day, but what it is stressing here for our purposes is that Mary heard every word. Every word from Christ. She paid attention to everything Christ was saying. Every single word. Word by word that day, as Christ talked to her, as Christ ministered to her, and as Christ opened up the things of God to her, Mary listened to every word. She heard them all. She heard the word of Christ. They pull all of that together, and it's very obvious that Mary had adopted a position of close fellowship with the Savior, whereby she could pay particular attention to his word. And Christ said to Martha, this was the one thing that was needful. Sure, other things were important. Other things had their place and would have their time. Other things needed to be attended to, but this one thing was absolutely essential. And just as food is necessary for life, just as water is necessary for us to survive, and just as air is necessary for us to breathe, so fellowship with Christ in his word is critical for the child of God. Fellowship with Christ in his word is critical for the child of God. Mary understood here that Christ had a message for her. That fellowship was critical. And yet I fear that we have lost sight of how essential this really is. Is it not true that many Christians do not view communion with God an essential part of their life? Is it not true that many professing believers have gone for days, weeks, months maybe, without any real meaningful fellowship with Christ in his word or in prayer? Is it not true that sometimes other things are deemed more important? Some legitimate things, sometimes illegitimate things? Is it possible that we have a twisted view of what is really needful in our Christian lives? But listen to what Christ is saying here, and these are the words of Christ. One thing is needful. Therefore, what we're being taught here is that we need the Lord. We need to be in union with him, and flowing from that, we need to be in communion with him, because personal fellowship with Jesus Christ in his word is critical for the believer. Now think that through for a minute. Fellowship with Christ in the word is essential for our growth in grace. According to 2 Peter 3, verse 18, growth in grace is linked to our knowledge of Christ. Listen to these words. Peter says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The two are inseparably linked. Growing in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Christ is the source of grace. He is full of grace. Therefore, we must deal with him. We must know him. We must fellowship with him if we are to grow in grace. If we are to mature as believers, if we are to grow up in Christ and develop as people of God, we need to give ourselves to fellowship with Christ in his word. Fellowship with Christ in the word is essential also in our daily battle with sin. Our victory depends on him. We are no match for the devil. The temptations are too strong and we are too weak to face this great foe in our own strength. We must go forth in Christ's name. For through him, we can do all things, and resisting temptation demands we fellowship with Christ. We are to put on the whole armor of God. We are to stand into Christ. We need to fellowship with him in his word if we're going to battle with sin successfully. Again, fellowship with Christ in the word is essential for stability in the midst of trials. He is the one who upholds us. He strengthens us. He is the one who encourages us. He carries us through those stormy seas. And therefore, when trials come and tribulations come and troubles come against us, where ought we to be? We ought to be fellowshipping with Christ in the word, listening to his word. Moreover, fellowship with Christ and the Word is essential if we are to worship right. Distance from Christ, not paying attention to his Word, distance from the Savior will lead to fleshly worship. We must look unto him and hear his Word and follow his ways. Moreover, fellowship with Christ and the Word is essential for guidance and direction. Christ is our light. He is the one who is the captain of our salvation, the one who will guide and lead as a shepherd does his flock. And if we're going to be guided and directed in life, as we need to be, we must fellowship with Christ in the Word. And fellowship with Christ in the Word is essential if we are going to enjoy the depths of God's blessing. This is important. This is critical. And the truth of Luke chapter 10, verse 42 cannot be overstated. Believer, there is no substitute for this. To put it very simply, we will be lacking in godly maturity. We will be lacking in godly stability. We will be lacking in godly humility. And we will be lacking in godly purity if we are lacking in our fellowship with Christ in his word. This is the one thing that is needful. Those of you who were in the Bible class this morning will have picked up the very same message. How do we glorify God and enjoy him forever? By taking heed to the rule that God has given to us, whereby we may glorify him and enjoy him forever by taking heed to his word. Here's the very same theme that's been stressed for us here. This is needful for the believer. This personal fellowship, this personal communion with Christ, whereby we hear his word, not just with the hearing of the ear, but with the understanding of the heart and the application of that word by the power of the Holy Ghost to our lives. Hearing Christ's word as we fellowship with him. What is a Christian without Christ? What is a Christian who never meets with Christ? What is a Christian who never sits at the feet of Christ and hears his word? What is that person? But a Christian in name only. This is absolutely needful. Of all the things that Christ could have said to Martha that day, of all the things that were important in her life, Christ said, this one thing is needful. Personal fellowship with Christ is critical for the Christian. If we are true disciples of him, if we are true students of Jesus Christ, followers of our Savior, then this is absolutely critical for us. Needful above every other business, every other occupation, every other work that we can do. This one thing is needful. The second observation from this passage is that this personal and critical fellowship with Christ must be chosen by the Christian. There is a sense in which as soon as we are born again, there's a desire for fellowship with the Savior. But to take time and spend time and concentration in fellowship with the Savior, taking time to hear his word, something that must be chosen. It appears from what Martha said here in verse 40 that both These women had worked together for a time, and then Mary had left to go and sit at the feet of Christ. The word left in the passage, "My sister hath left me," means to forsake or leave behind. It's almost as if Martha is saying to the Savior, "Mary has gone away from me. She has forsaken me for something else. She has left me to serve alone." And she had. But that was Martha's view of it. She has left me. But look at Christ's view of it in verse 42. "Mary hath chosen that good part." This was a choice that Mary had made. She chose to leave her sister and go to Christ and sit at His feet. Martha had chosen to stay and do what she was doing there. But Mary was different. This was Mary's decision. She realized, as Christ had come into her home and Martha had received Him and welcomed Him, Mary realized that here was an opportunity for fellowship with the Lord. She realized that Christ would have something tremendously beneficial for her to hear. She knew that Christ would bring a message. She knew of the benefits of being in the Savior's company. She knew what it would mean to sit at His feet. She was a woman who sought first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, knowing that other things would be added unto her. And so she forsook what she was doing. She came to Christ. She left what she was engaged in for something much better. Now, that choice of hers had certain features to it. This choice indicated Mary's desire. Her desire. She wanted to be with her Savior. She valued His company and His conversation. That suggests to me that there was great love in her heart for Christ. There's no doubt that Martha loved the Savior also. But at this time, she's distracted. At this time, she's overcome with anxious cares, with things in her home. Mary is not distracted with those things. She thought more of Christ than anything or anyone else in her home. Nothing else really mattered to this woman at this particular time. She had time to be with Christ, and she took it. You understand that. You read the Song of Solomon, and you'll read in that book the love the Christian has for Christ. Song of Solomon chapter 3 and verse 4, for example. "I found Him whom my soul loveth. I held Him and would not let Him go." Song of Solomon chapter 5, when the beloved had withdrawn himself, she goes forth after Him, searching for Him, asking others to search with her that she might find Him, because she was lovesick. And because she was lovesick, she sought Him whom her soul loveth. And here is Mary, and she loves the Savior. And because she has this tremendous love for Christ, she desires to sit at His feet and hear His words. You see, believer, the soul that loves Christ, the soul that desires Christ, will desire to sit at His feet. The Christian whose heart is bursting forth in love for the Savior will want to be near Him. They will want to spend time with Christ and know what it is to fellowship with Him. Those of you who are married, and cast your minds back to those days when you first met the person who would be your husband or your wife, and you had desires to be with them. Coming through the day, and perhaps you had arrangements made to meet that evening, and you couldn't wait to finish work and get cleaned up and out to meet that person. Why? Because you loved them. Because you had desires for them. And you chose to do that. You chose to leave work or wherever it was and take the time and get yourself ready and put yourself to that place where you could meet with that person that your heart was set upon. Those who love Christ with a strong love will desire to be at His feet. They will desire to listen to His Word. It will be the burden of our hearts to take up the Scriptures and read them for ourselves. Spend time with Jesus Christ. It indicates her desire. It indicates her discernment also. There were other things to do in that home. That's without question. Martha was busy. She was cumbered about with much serving. There were many things for her to do that day. But Mary discerned that fellowshipping with Christ was more important. She discerned that. George Whitefield, when he spoke of this passage, he spoke of Mary taking care of her soul more than seeing to the needs of the body. Taking care of the needs of her soul more than seeing to the needs of the body. I think he had a point. Mary discerned what was good. She discerned what was better. And she discerned what was best for her. The Puritan Richard Sibbes said, "Let us endeavor to balance things by laying them and comparing them together." What did he mean by that? He simply meant that as believers we are to look at things and we are to discern which things are more important, which things are vital for us, which things are of eternal worth, which things that must have our attention, must have our thoughts and our mind. Which things are vital for us. That's what Mary did. She exercised incredible spiritual discernment. There's desire, there's discernment, there's devotion. It says she sat at Jesus' feet. She devoted time to this. Her whole body, soul, heart and mind were taken up with Christ. It's as if nothing else mattered to her that day. She put time with Christ first. We talk about our times of devotion. Here's a time of devotion in Mary's life. Her choice. And yet this is where thousands of the Lord's people are missing out. We make, at times at least, we make terrible choices in our Christian experience. Instead of choosing to spend more time with Christ, we often spend it on frivolous things. I'm not talking about things that we must do. We have awesome responsibilities and things that need our attention. But there are things that we could forego in order to spend more time in fellowship with Jesus Christ around His Word. Could we not reduce our time watching television? Could we not limit the time in which we surf the internet? And very often that's one of the greatest time wasters that we have to face in these days. Could we not limit the hours we spend on other things in order that we make time to meet with Christ? If hearing the word of Christ is important, if it's vitally important, should we not make it a priority in our lives? If hearing the word of Christ is such an important thing, should we not make it a priority to be in the house of God as often as we possibly can? To be under the word of Jesus Christ? Should we not make our devotional time something that we guard as much as lies within us? Should we not be paying particular attention to our management of time so that we sit at the feet of Christ? In Ephesians 5, we are commanded to redeem the time because the days are evil. The thought there is buy back the time, buy up the time, use the time. Do we do that? Do we really do that as the Lord's people? In the UK, I don't know how it is over here, but in the UK, very often there were time and motion men come into businesses to do a survey, time and motion, indicating how much time is spent on a particular job and how much movement there is among the workforce and how much time is wasted going here and there. How unproductive people can be in their places of employment. Might be a good thing for us as believers to do a time and motion study on a week in a Christian's life. How much time do we spend with Christ? Do we make a conscious decision, a conscious choice, depending upon the Lord's help, to go and sit at the Savior's feet? Let me ask some questions here. What choices are you making in your spiritual life just now? Christian, is Christ really the joy and delight of your soul? Do you love Him above and before and beyond everything else in life? Is your spiritual well-being of interest to you? Are you concerned about how it is with you and your walk with God? Are you concerned about how you live day by day in fellowship or otherwise with the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you stop and be still and take time with God? I understand these are very busy days. I understand that people are busy at work and school and home. And believe me, I understand when there are children in the home, it can be very difficult to get time to read or pray. It's a great challenge, especially for mothers. I understand that. You fathers need to help there. You need to help your wives, that they get time alone with God, so that they are not cumbered about with much serving, that they cannot get time alone to sit at Christ's feet. Let every one of us, as God gives us the strength and as God gives us the opportunity and the ability, let every one of us endeavor to increase our time at the feet of Christ, to increase our time around His precious Word. Mary is sitting there listening to the Word of Jesus Christ. And Christ commends her. One thing is needful, He says to Martha there in verse 42. One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part. Shall not be taken away from her. The third thing I see here is that those who fellowship with Christ in His Word will know peace and joy in their hearts. When Martha interjected and her complaint and command to Christ, there she speaks in verse 40, Martha's cumbered about with much serving and came to Him and said, Lord, dost Thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. She's now commanding the Savior what He needs to do, in her mind at least. And I suspect that she expected Christ to take her side. She wanted Him to agree with her. She wanted Him to do as she was asking Him and to say what she was commanding Him to say to Mary and command Mary to go and help her. But Christ did not do that. Rather, He said that Mary had chosen something that was essential and that was good. Now notice His exact words here. Verse 41, Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. One thing is needful. Mark the word but there. The start of verse 42. But one thing is needful. And what Christ is doing, He is now drawing a contrast between Martha and Mary. Martha was cumbered about with much serving. She was distracted. She was anxious. She was troubled. She had lost her focus. She had lost her way. She had lost her joy. There's not much joy in verse 40 as Martha comes to the Savior and speaks the way she does. But Christ says to her, But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part. There you are, Martha, and you're troubled, and you're anxious, and you're careful about many things. But look at Mary. She has chosen that good part, that blessed part. She is not troubled and anxious as you are, because she's here at my feet. The contrast is striking. When Christ adds that which shall not be taken from her, taken away from her, the thought is that this kind of fellowship was a foretaste of what she was going to enjoy forever. And if I could put it this way, it was a little heaven on earth for Mary, just to be at the feet of Christ. Mary's communion with the Lord meant that she was full of contentment in the Lord. There was a peace about Mary. There was a joy about her, a satisfaction with her, a contentment in her life. And Christ commends her for having chosen that good part. Why is it so many Christians are weary, discouraged, discontent, anxious, and troubled? Why is it so many of God's people are bowed down beneath a load of care and begin to think and act and speak as Martha did here? Is it not in part because we are not listening to the word of Christ? We're not taking the time to sit at his feet and hear his word. Believer, this is where we need to be. I say that because of what Christ says in verse 42. This one thing is needful. Therefore, we need to be a people who develop and establish and develop this practice of sitting and listening to the word of Christ. I give some practical thoughts here. If you have neglected time with the Savior, then Christian, reinstate that at once. I know that can happen very easy, losing out with the Lord and things take over our time, our thoughts. You've set time aside perhaps in the morning or the evening time, and before very long the phone begins to ring, or the children are demanding your attention, or something else has happened, and your time that you have allotted and set apart to meet with the Lord gets destroyed. And that happens one day, and perhaps it happens the next day, and perhaps happens over a number of days in the week, but before long, that missing out with the Lord becomes the habit, becomes the norm. We become almost accustomed to not having time with the Lord, and we try to get by without it. Now, that's where you are. I don't know how it is with your personal time with Christ, or your time around the Word, or what it's like with you sitting at the feet of Christ and listening to Him. But if that's the case, if you have neglected time with Christ for whatever reason, then reinstate that time at once. Get back to reading the Word and taking time with the Lord. And don't set expectations that are impossible for you to reach and think you've got to spend hours every day shutting yourself away. But reinstate that time with Christ as best as you can. With God's help, be at the feet of Christ listening to His Word. We suggest also that you guard your personal time with Him. If you have established this already and it's there day by day, then, believer, guard that, because Satan wants to destroy it. He wants to hinder your fellowship with Christ. He wants to distract you. It happens every one of us. happens to every one of us. I know sometimes when a preacher preaches this kind of theme, the thought can be, well, it's okay for him. That's his job. It's his job to read the Word. It's his job to study. It's his job to meet with the Lord. I face the exact same struggles you do when it comes to the issue of personal time with the Lord. The phone can ring, something else can happen. And I've got to guard that time. Believer, guard your time with Christ. This is one thing that's needful. Other things can be left. Or they can go to a different time in the day. I know there are emergencies that come up and you've got to deal with those as they are. And you understand that. I understand that too. With all your strength, guard your time with Christ. Make use of the means of grace. Be here in public worship as often as you can. What is this time? And we come to worship. We come to sing. We come to pray. We come to meet with each other. We come to fellowship with each other. We come surely to sit at the feet of Christ. We come surely here to learn His Word, to hear it, and to be disciples of Christ. Lord's Day by Lord's Day, Wednesday by Wednesday, we have a tremendous opportunity to come away from all the other duties of the week and sit at the feet of Christ. Make use of that. Make use of that to your spiritual benefit. Also understand and see the importance of Scripture. Mary listened to the word of Christ. Verse 39 is very specific there. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. It seems to me from that Mary is not doing so much talking as she is listening. She's listening to Christ. As Christ speaks the word, she is drinking that word in. She's paying attention to the words of the Savior. It's not just some vague thing that she's doing there. She is paying attention to the word. Let us ever hold the highest view of Scripture. And let us ever see the importance of the word of God that we might listen and hear the word of Christ. Sometimes we sing, "Take time to be holy. Speak off with your Lord." It's true. We ought to. But take time to be holy and listen often to the Lord as well. You see, believer, the Lord has a message for you. The Lord had something to say to Mary. And she sat at His feet and she heard it. You ever think that the Lord has something to say to you? Every day, He has been given the tongue of the learned to speak a word in season to those who are weary. You're weary, discouraged, discontent, dissatisfied, tired maybe, burdened down with the cares and burdens and labors of the day. Listen, Christ has a word for you. Go and sit at His feet. Choose that good part. Shall not be taken away. Making the right choice in the Christian life. Let's give ourselves afresh to the Word of Christ, to the Word of our God, that we might, as we learned this morning already, we might glorify Him and enjoy Him, for that is our chief end. Mary has chosen that good part. May we do the same. Make it a priority to be at the feet of Christ. Let's bow in prayer. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for Thy word. We pray, Lord, today that Thou will come and by Thy Spirit speak to us. We confess, Lord, at times we are dull of hearing. We are slow to learn. Lord, come and by Thy Spirit speak to us, we pray. We do ask, Lord, for Thy people, some with many, many heavy responsibilities, with very busy schedules. Lord, we pray that they would have time to meet with Thee. We ask, Lord, Thou will bless them. Help us. Grant us the strength, the wisdom, the discernment that we need to take time with Christ. Save us, Lord, from being a people who take little time or no time with Thy Word. Make us a people who love the Scriptures, who love the Savior. Fill our hearts with desires for Christ. Father, answer prayer. Bless Thy Word to us today, we pray. Impart us now in Thy fear and with Thy favor. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit remain and abide with Thy people now and forever. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.